Good morning. Please be making your way to your seats. We're happy to have you here, both those of us who are in person and those of you who are worshiping with us online. We're very thankful to have with us a guest speaker this morning. Tim is away spending some time with his family, and we're happy to have Josh Alley with us. Some of you know Josh, particularly if you have ties to the Abington Church. You know him, know what an excellent person he is. Right now, Josh is a third-year student at the Tri-City School of Preaching and plans to continue his education at Heritage Christian University in the fall of 2023. He has been with us. I've heard him speak with the 708 group, impressed with him. He also was one of the group, including those of us here at Central, some of our youth who went to Panama on a mission trip this summer. So we're very happy to have Josh with us this morning. As we begin our worship, we're here to worship God, to grow closer to Him, to closer to His Word. And I want us to look at just the first couple of verses from the first Psalm. This is a beautiful Psalm, one of my favorites. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Not just to open the Bible and look at a verse or two and say, well, I'm a daily Bible reader, but to say, meditate. So as we worship God this morning in song, in prayer, with the Lord's Supper, with the lesson that Josh has for us, let's all meditate on God's word and his will for us. We'll now begin with singing.
We declare that the kingdom of God is here.
Come on, you.
Come on, you.
Come on, you.
The blind see, the deaf hear.
to our Father in prayer, we will sing 422, Spirit of the Living God.
Pray with me, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. We're thankful for this time that we can come together and worship you, the only true and living God. We're thankful for all in this assembly. We're thankful for those who are watching online. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with us today as we worship you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the things that we say and do are pleasing unto you. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of those of the congregation here who are sick, who are in need of prayer, who have asked for our prayers. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we lift these individuals up, that you will be with them. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will give them the measure of health that they so desire. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they can be back with us soon. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll be with the congregation here in Johnson City as we endeavor to spread the word. Pray that you will be with the many efforts that we put forth. We pray that those efforts are to bring glory to you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll be with Josh in a few minutes when he delivers the lesson. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with him. Pray, Heavenly Father, that we will open your word, that we will glean from it and make proper application in our lives. Heavenly Father, many times we say and do things that are contrary to your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will forgive us when we do those things. We pray, Heavenly Father, that our service today will be glorifying to you. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our hymn of invitation this morning will be 922, if you would like to mark it, 922. And before the scripture reading and Josh brings us the lesson, we will sing 167. Would you stand, please, as we sing this hymn?
Oh, children's training class will be in the children's library this morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her."
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you all. It's the first time I've actually been able to speak at Central, and I appreciate the opportunity. I will say before I forget, if you would add my dad to your prayer list and be praying for him, he's going to be going through some tests here pretty soon, and it's uncertain. They're a little stressed out a little bit, but I would appreciate that very much. My mom's worried. You know, to say something about my mom real quick, and it relates to our lesson. My mom is the best godly example in my life, and she truly is, and she means a lot to me. She never, you know, I went astray there for a while, but she never lost hope, and she always reached out. And, you know, there's a lot to say about a good godly woman in your life. And maybe many of you here this morning, men, might not be here if it wouldn't be for your wife or your mother. We think about what the Bible says about Timothy. You know, Paul commends Timothy and says, you know, you were raised with the scriptures from your youth. And it was because of your grandmother and your mother. So there's a lot to be said about good, godly women. And we have to focus on, you know, what they mean to us in our life. Be turning your Bibles over to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at two godly women this morning. Well, I appreciate the brother with a scripture reading. That's what we're going to be looking at, Mary and Martha this morning. This lesson is very simple, but I think there's a lot of lessons that we can take from this passage that we need to live in our life, and sometimes we neglect. And I neglect them just as much as anybody else, and we just have to look at the simple lessons of the Bible sometimes. And keep our lives as simple as possible. You know, within our text here in Luke chapter 10, we're going to be covering 3 points this morning. We're going to be looking at the hospitality of Martha. We'll also examine the heart of Mary. And then we're going to look at the balanced heart. And what I mean by that is, you know, how can we balance our heart to be hospitable like Martha? How can we balance our heart to be a diligent Bible student like Mary? Sometimes we give Martha a hard time, but we would be in the same group if Jesus was in our house. So let's look at our text. Or real quick, I do want to make mention of with the ideal of focus. Christopher Columbus said this. He said, "By prevailing over all obstacles and distractions, one may unfailingly arrive at his chosen goal or destination." So what he's saying is we need to have undivided focus on what we're actually doing here. Now, I know you all have a sense of love for God. You're here this morning. You love and you want to worship Him and you are committed to Him. And those that have put Christ, that are in Christ, you know, your citizenship is not on this earth. And we sing that song oftentimes, "This world is not my home, we're just a passing through." Philippians 3 and verse 20 says our citizenship is in heaven. And that's where our focus needs to be first. You know, Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." So that's what we're going to look at, is where our focus needs to be. Our first point is the hospitality of Martha. If you're there in Luke 10, look with me, starting in verse 38. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." So the first thing we learn about Martha, you know, she welcomes him. How thrilled would you and I be if Jesus was there at our doorstep? "Come on in, Jesus. We want you in our home." Martha has this attitude of welcoming Jesus into her home. You know, many people today, I heard a story recently by a good brother. You know, He was telling me that there was some people that have this family Bible that set on their coffee table, and they proclaim, you know, Jesus is in our home because this Bible has been passed down through generation and generation. We are so glad to have Jesus in this house. You know, I'm not so sure about that, because there comes a sense of study that you have to have Jesus in your home. We should want Jesus in our home. We should want Jesus being taught in our home. But we also need to want Jesus in our heart, and we'll see that with Mary. You know, as we go on through our text, look in verse 39. Martha had a sister called Mary who was at at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Therefore, tell her to help me. So we see Martha is getting upset. She approaches Jesus with an attitude of complaint. And she approaches Jesus with an attitude of accusation. She says, do you not see my sister? She's not doing anything. Are you not going to tell her to help me? You know, what is our approach to Jesus sometimes? I know 1 Peter 5 says, cast your every care upon him because he cares for you. I know this. We all know this. We all want to cast our cares upon Jesus, but we need to have an approach to Jesus, not of complaint, not of accusation. You know, we can't go to Jesus like the Pharisee. If you remember in Luke chapter 18, you remember the prayer of the Pharisee. Thank you, Lord, for not making me like this other man, this tax collector over here. We have to remember our approach to Jesus needs to be a submissive, humble approach. You know, going back to 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6, it says, humble yourselves under the right hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then the next verse is telling us, once we submit to God and we are a follower of God, cast your every care upon him, because he cares for you. But then there's a responsibility in verse 8 there, 1 Peter 5. We need to be sober, be vigilant, for the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have to be sober. We have to, you know, be so hungering and thirsting after the word of God that nothing else distracts us. So we need to remember, how do we approach Jesus? Are we approaching with accusation or complaint? Or are we approaching out of submissive humility? So, you know, we can't get distracted. Oftentimes, I get distracted in life. You may get distracted. You know, it's easy. It is so easy to get distracted, because we have so much to do in life. And we make to-do lists. And maybe sometimes we've got 10 lists of things that we need to do pertaining to certain days. We make lists. There's a lot to do. You know, I don't know if Martha necessarily had planned Jesus coming into her home, but she had a lot to do, and she was very distracted. And we can get distracted when we have a lot to do. But Jesus wants us to serve others. Jesus wants us to serve, but not to our own spiritual detriment. We cannot spiritually starve ourselves in the midst of serving someone. The best way we can serve someone is to feed them spiritually, but we can't feed them spiritually if we don't feed ourselves spiritually. So we have to keep that in mind. You know, Hebrews chapter 2, you know, is telling us that we can neglect our salvation. It says, how will you escape if you neglect your salvation? We have to not neglect, and we have to grow. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 encourages us, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to continue growing. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian just yesterday. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian 50, 60, 70 years ago. Today is the day to keep growing. We should never think that we always arrive, or we should stop growing. So think for a moment with this idea of distraction. Think for a moment in Matthew 19, we meet this young man. He's referred to as the rich young ruler. You know, he comes to Jesus and he says, you know, Master, I've done all the things of the law. I've kept the law perfectly. You know, I've fasted, I've tithed, I treat my neighbors right. I've done all this according to the law. What else do I lack? Jesus says, you know, you've got all these great possessions. Just sell them. Just sell them and follow me. And he went away sorrowful. He was distracted. We have to make sure that our distractions in life are not, you know, strangling out our spiritual growth. And we have to make sure that God is number one. Seek first the kingdom of God. So with this, when we look at Martha, sometimes we beat her up and we think that, you know, Martha was just, she's just terrible. But she's a good example of service. She is a good example of service. We need to serve like Martha. And we can look to her example. And, you know, something that stuck out to me when I first read this text, in verse 39, it says, talking about Mary, but it says, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. To me, that says that also is that Martha sat at Jesus' feet too, but not in this particular time. So as we go on, and let us examine the heart of Mary. So starting in verse 39, we'll read through down to verse 42. Martha had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And then in verse 41, Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Some translations say you are anxious. You just can't sit still right now. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. You know, the ESV translation says good portion. And that really stuck out to me. Psalm chapter 73 and verse 26. It is my favorite verse of the whole Bible. It says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So we think about that, the portion of what God is to us. What does he mean to us? To Mary, she understood that God is the portion or that good part that will last forever. She knew, you know, whatever happens in life, nothing, this physical is going to perish, but this spiritual will last forever. So we have to have the heart of Mary. And Mary had this attitude of, I'm going to place Jesus within my heart. And now, I'm not trying to misconstrue this, because a lot of different ideas could come from that statement. How do we place Jesus in our heart? I'm not suggesting he comes, you know, any kind of miraculous knowledge or anything. It takes effort. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have to diligently seek God. We have to hunger and thirst after righteousness, as it says in Matthew chapter 5. We take the effort to place Jesus within our heart. And God says he commends those that do. He says you're wise if you do so. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus, we're familiar with this text. Jesus says, whoever hears and does these sayings of mine, I will liken him unto a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. And we know that what it is to be founded on that rock. When the pressures of life come, when the winds beat on the house, when the rains fall, when the floods come, the house is going to stand if it's built on the rock. God says we are wise if we hunger and thirst after the good portion. You know, within that, we have to be a follower of God. And the cost of discipleship is very expensive. We know that the gift of salvation is a free gift of God, but our part, you know, it's expensive. In Luke chapter 14, it's just a couple pages if you want to turn over there with me. We see that following Jesus is very expensive. In Luke 14, starting in verse 26, Jesus is saying, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, hate his mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and yes, his own life also, they cannot be my disciple. And then he goes on to say, you know, what man is going to intend to build a house and not consider the cost? Or who's going to go to war and not consider how many troops they need to be effective? Jesus takes that in comparison to the walk with him, walking with Christ. It's a very expensive walk. There are things we have to give up. There are things that we have to stay focused on. Mary, in our text here in Luke chapter 10, Mary, she was adding to her faith. We are commanded to add to our faith today, 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 5, add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and so on. We have to keep adding to our faith and keep growing. So when we desire to be like Christ, when we are the student of Christ daily as we should be, we can effectively serve others. Because if you look at Jesus, and if we're constantly studying who Jesus is, and we're constantly looking at him as our master and our Lord, Paul says, have this mind which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, we look at the mind of Christ and it says, let nothing be done out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's the mind of Jesus. That's what the student of Christ has to strive for. And that's what Mary was striving for. So as we go on, you know, another thing we have to remember is a heart for Jesus does not cave under pressure. We see Martha come approaching Jesus and approaching Mary and putting this pressure on them. In verse 40 of Luke chapter 10, it says, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I imagine that she's pointing a finger. Tell her to help me. Martha is putting this pressure on Jesus. Martha is putting this pressure on Mary. We have to take that and apply it to us. Do people put pressure on you because you're a Christian? You know, in Matthew 5, starting in 11 and 12, blessed are you when you are persecuted, when you're reviled, when they say all these things about you. You're blessed, Jesus says. People are going to place pressure on us as a Christian. But a heart for Jesus does not cave. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 says, Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the work of the Lord is not in vain. Or that your work in the Lord is not in vain. We have to not cave under pressure when we're striving to have the heart of Jesus. Our third point this morning is going to be the balanced heart. So we understand that Martha was thrilled to have Jesus in her home. Mary was thrilled to have Jesus in her heart. We have to try to do both. We need Jesus in our home. You know, in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. You know, the Christian life is the best home life. And maybe many of you are in the public school systems, and I've heard from other friends, you know, sometimes people tell me it's obvious that some of these children don't have the best home life. Maybe they're struggling, and you can tell. The Christian life is the best home life. That is why it is crucial for us to try to take this gospel to the world and change one soul at a time. That's the only way we'll turn the world right back up on its head. The Christian life is the best home life. And a distracted Christian life shows up in the home. We have to stay focused. So we know, to have that Christian home life, we need to be teaching Jesus in the home. And it's something that impressed me, when you're looking through the book of Acts, you meet this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. Many times the church had worshipped in their home, and that's where they had services. You see them working as a team, spreading the gospel. In Acts chapter 18, Apollos was mistaken on some of the stuff he was teaching. Aquila and Priscilla didn't call them out to their face. They pulled him aside and taught the word of God more rightly. We have to have a right home life. Jesus needs to be in our home. We also need to be serving others in our homes. You know, I don't know about you, but I like to eat. You like to eat? Yeah? We're thinking about eating? So, and other people like to eat. Maybe, and one of the things, a good brother, I went through a seminar here last year, or no, it was earlier this year in April. Eating is one of the best evangelism tactics you can have. And not, don't just take that and say, okay, I'm going to convert souls if I just take them out to eat. But think about it. Have people in your home. Invite people in your home, your friends that, you know, maybe they don't know the truth and you want to see them develop into a Christian. Invite them in your home. Say, hey, you want to come over for dinner? And maybe that's not going to result in a Bible study right off the bat. But build a relationship with that person and show them that you care about them. And then that may result in teaching them about Jesus, having Jesus in your home. You have to have Jesus in your home. And just like Mary, we have to have Jesus in our heart. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, that you always may be ready to give a defense for the reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. You know, the first part of that verse says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. We have to remember that God is not going to sanctify himself into our hearts. You know, God is not going to set himself apart into our hearts. That verse is telling us that we need to be diligent in study. We need to take the Word of God and place it so deeply into our hearts that whenever someone looks at you and looks at me and says, you know, they're different from the world, they're different from everybody else, whenever they do that, they'll say, they'll ask you, hey, why aren't you like the other people at work? I used to work contracting a lot of times, and I'm definitely not trying to brag, but I know if you work contracting today, I was talking to a good brother yesterday, he's a carpenter, and he's struggling hard right now because everyone around him, you know, they're cussing, they all drink, they all smoke, and he's the only one. But he told me, he said, there's a fellow that he works with that comes up to him, you know, I noticed that you're the only one that's not like everybody else. So you are an example. Be an example, stand out, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, put Jesus into your heart so that other people see that. And another reason we need Jesus in our heart, you know, in times of struggle, we need comfort. Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10 says that God is, or verse 1 says that God is a very present help in time of struggle. God is very present, but we need to make sure that we present him into our heart. 2 Corinthians 1 and starting in verse 3 says, blessed be the God of all comfort. God is there to give us comfort in times of struggle. We need Jesus in our heart because when we go into unknown territory, we need some direction. Think about, well, in Hebrews 11, in verse 8, talks about Abraham going of faith. He did not know where he was going. He was going into no man's land. He had no idea where he was going. Now take that and think about 5 years now in your life. Do you know where you're going to be? Doubtful. It's hard to even plan 6 months from now. It's hard to plan a year from now. I mean, I'm not saying don't plan. You must plan. You have to have a good, solid plan. But plans change. If we're walking by faith and not by sight, then God will direct us in his plans. And, you know, ultimately having a heart for Jesus will result into divine commendation. Matthew chapter 25, you see the judgment scene. You know, the master, Jesus, he separates the sheep and the sheep and the goats. And he says to the sheep, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, if you're serving like Martha, if you're studying like Mary, you can have that divine commendation. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. And we have to live like Christ. So the best way that we can have the heart of Jesus is look at the heart of Jesus. Turn over to Matthew 5 and we'll wrap up with this. Looking at the heart of Jesus You know, in Matthew 5, it's showing Jesus is starting this sermon, preparing his followers for the kingdom. It's like a preparatory sermon of, okay, this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. Matthew 5, starting in verse 3, going through verse 9. You know, I see this as Jesus' heart. This is what the heart of Jesus looks like. And he tells his followers, be this. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. If we look at that, and we try to implement each of those character traits in our life, and we will be able to, you know, with God, nothing is impossible, right? All things are possible with God. We look at the heart of Jesus. We can become hospitable like Martha. You know, we notice that Martha was neglecting her spiritual growth. But if we're looking at the heart of Jesus, we will not neglect our spiritual growth. Mary chose the good portion. If we're looking at the heart of Jesus, we're choosing the good portion. So how much is our spiritual life worth to us? That's what we have to ask ourselves. How much is it worth to us? Is it worth just a few hours a week? Is it worth a diligent Bible study every day of the week? What is it worth? Service to others. We have to show the heart of Christ. We need that balanced heart. So we study like Mary, we serve like Martha. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, maybe you're not following Christ, he says you can be his disciple. He says in Matthew 11, starting in verse 28, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, you can become a Christian this morning. And maybe you don't know all the information that's needed for that. We'd love to study with you. There's a lot of men that would love to study and show you more. But maybe you have taken those steps and you have been placed into Christ, but you have gotten distracted, or maybe you've stumbled off path. You know, one thing that sticks out to me, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, he says it's all a big race, this life is. All ye who run, run as if you're going to accomplish the goal. You know, he says at the end of that, lest he preaches to others, he could become disqualified. Any of us could be susceptible to falling into sin. Any of us. Nobody is exempt from falling into sin. Nobody is exempt from, you know, struggling in life or tripping on path and not being able to get up. But that's why God designed the church. He designed a family that is here for each other, that makes it easier to get through struggles, that has each other, we have each other to pray for. You know, James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, singular. What about a bunch of people? What about how effective is the fervent prayer of righteous men and women? Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation this morning. If you do, make that so. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, it is now open to everyone. Please come now as we stand and sing.
much for that reminder of how important it is to have hospitality in our hearts for Jesus. Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing 364. 364, Come Share the Lord. We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive
all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
As we prepare to take the Lord's Supper together, I'd like for us to spend some time in John chapter 17. And so this is what we'll read is a portion of Christ's prayer before his arrest and before his crucifixion. John chapter 17, I'll start in verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And in verse 20, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. To see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Let's go to God in prayer for the bread. Dear Father, as we prepare to take of this bread that represents your Son's body on the cross, we reflected on his prayer, dear Lord, and read that before he endured the ridicule and the humiliation, before he suffered great pain on the cross and prolonged suffering and death, dear Lord, he prayed for us. And he prayed that your will would be done and that we would be able to know you, the one and only true God, that we would be able to know your love and that we would be able to know eternal life. And dear Lord, as we take of this bread, we remember that sacrifice, remember the example set, and we pray that as we deal with circumstances and struggles in our own life, that you be the focus and your will being done be the focus as Jesus showed us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer for the cup. Dear Lord, as we prepare to take the fruit of the vine, your Son's blood that was spilled on the cross, dear Lord, we know that he took the burden of our sins upon him and that his blood that was spilled cleansed us and freed us of that sin. And dear Lord, we know that that sacrifice and that blood allows us to approach you now. It has allowed us to come to know you, to be one body and one spirit. Has allowed us to know your love, dear Lord, and we have the hope of eternal life with you. And as we take this cup, we do so, and we're so grateful for all that blood has afforded us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's now pray for the contribution. Dear Lord, as we shared the Lord's Supper together, we remembered your Son on the cross and what his sacrifice and your grace and your love, all that that's afforded us spiritually. And dear Lord, you've also blessed us so much in the time and the country that we live in materially. We come to you now, and as we prepare to give a portion of that back, we pray that we do so cheerfully, dear Lord, and that we know that you have put us in a time and place where there are many opportunities in a world where your wisdom and your love is greatly needed. And dear Lord, as we give back a portion of this, we pray that you be with the elders and all those that are involved with the allocation of these gifts. And dear Lord, we pray that the many works that we have in this congregation, that this money will aid those works, and that we will be able to continue to go out and to be fruitful and to allow people to see you, Lord, and to know your grace and your love. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let's again go to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give us each day. We're thankful for the worship to you that we need. You're great. You do not need us, but we need you. We need to draw closer to you each day to share your word with more people, to enjoy the fellowship of other Christians so that we might be stronger in your word. We're thankful for Josh and other men like him who will put forth the time and effort to study, to learn and develop themselves so they may preach the word to this world that so desperately needs it. We pray you'll be with him as he continues in his work for you. Forgive us when we fall short, as we often do. Help us to be a light to those around us, to have Jesus' heart in our heart as much as we humanly can. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We have the following announcements, and then Leland has an announcement as well. Please sign up to teach a class during the winter quarter. See Adam Maurer with any questions. Sharing Thanksgiving bags are available to pick up at the Welcome Centers. Please have all bags returned filled by November the 20th. You can turn in completed Lad to Leaders blue and orange forms as you leave today. There are bins for collection outside the doors as you depart. If you need more time to fill it out, please turn in the form as soon as possible. Central Redbirds monthly luncheon will be this Tuesday, November the 8th at 11 a.m. at Shoney's in Johnson City. All ladies 50s or better are invited to come. Remember these in our prayers. Heather Curtis, a lady from our community, is experiencing health problems and would appreciate our prayers. This update on Marie Dye. Marie, unfortunately, is back at Franklin Woods with RSV in quarantine. Please pray for Marie. Dennis Fink, a brother-in-law of Mary Sheridan, who is closer than her brother, is back at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Texas after a serious setback. Mary asks that we pray for God's help with Dennis. Lorraine Phillips, elderly wife of a friend of Steve Looney, fell on Saturday and broke her hip and shoulder. Janet asks that we pray for God's blessings on her. Terry Yokley, brother of Tammy Jenkins, continues in therapy following a broken humerus bone. Tim Steltner, son of Pat Steltner, is awaiting a liver transplant. He has stage 4 liver disease and is waiting to see if his daughter is a match as a living donor. The mother of Sergeant Boggs is in ICU. Sergeant Boggs has been instrumental in helping the Central ladies begin a women's Bible class at the Washington County Detention Center. And now Leland has an announcement.
Recently, Tim has used Matthew 25, verses 35 to 36 in several of his lessons in his sermons. And the church here is involved in several of those benevolences mentioned there. We have the food pantry, which had served 185 families and 66 individuals last month. We have the Thanksgiving bags that are coming up. We have the jail ministry, where over 100 people have been through classes. And from that, we've had 68 baptisms. And we have the Dorcas ministry for clothing. We're going to have another opportunity soon that will be available to all of us. It's to provide For those we often see along the side of the roads or at stop signs or traffic lights, and they're asking for food or asking for money, and of course we're always very, very hesitant to give anybody any money, afraid it might be misused. So we're going to, the elders have purchased backpacks and some items to go in them. What's in them are socks and gloves, toboggans, rain ponchos, toiletries, a Bible, and tracts. There's three different ways that we or you can be involved in this. One of the ways is already happening. Your contribution to the church here has allowed them to be able to purchase those. But also, we need some supplies to go in these along those same lines as far as food. We need individual size nuts, Vienna sausages, Beanie Weenies, Slim Jims, snack cakes, cheese nabs, protein bars, and the small bottles of water. And all of these must have pull rings on them, so these individuals who do not have homes necessarily will be able to open them. And also we'll need gallon-sized Ziploc bags. There's a box in the foyer that you can deposit those things in, and we'll be doing them. The third way you can be involved with this is passing these out safely to those you see or feel are in need. After they have been assembled by our youth, they will be doing that in 2 or 3 weeks. The youth will get together and assemble these bags, and we'll have them ready for you to distribute. Continue to pray for our outreach programs, and thank you, and God bless, and have a good afternoon.